Psalm 16.
Psalm 16 is our Bible reading for this morning on this Thanksgiving Day. Psalm 16. It's found on page 853. Keep me safe, O God. For in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even in night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One seek decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. May God bless his word. People of God, you've undoubtedly seen the Holstein cow or the quarter horse with his head through the fence or over the fence eating grass from his neighbor's pasture, and you comment that critter must not be able to see that the grass is also very green on his or her side of the fence. But we can excuse the Holstein or the quarter horse because she's just an animal. If she were a human now, she would know better. But would she? There's the farmer who just brought in the biggest crop ever, brought it to town, but was heard to say to whomever would listen, but you know, that big crop really was hard on the soil. There's a family that can build a brand new house, but it's heard to complain that the pile in the carpet is just a little deeper than it really would should be, and the wood in the window trim just really doesn't match my piano wood, and boy, the tax bill is quite a bit higher than I expected. A man is able to buy a shiny new automobile, but is heard to complain that the gas mileage is not quite what I expected. And my neighbor's car rides a little better than this new car of mine. And I didn't expect that the license fee would be so high. A person is cured of a disease, but now is cancer-free, but is heard to vigorously say to anyone who is willing to listen, but boy, those treatments really were hard on me. The church member has the freedom to get up every Sunday morning, drive a warm car out of an attached garage, drive up to the building that will not be locked, does not have to look around wondering if he's being spied on by government agents. He can enter a building where the heat and the air conditioning is set as needed, sit in a padded pew, listen to the gospel, sing songs of praise to God, and yet is heard to complain to anyone who will hear that there was a bit of air movement that was somewhat annoying. There was a song that was not quite familiar, and this preacher has this detracting tick in his face or whatever. I'm not sure that the human has so much over the Holstein cow or the quarter horse with his head, with their head through the fence. We do not always talk and act like we are aware that the grass is very green on our side of the fence, too. Sin, you know, takes many shapes and forms in our lives. Our old self rears its ugly head from time to time. And one of the faces of this old self is that face of discontent. When our eyes are not open to blessings, when our eyes are open only to that which is faulty, to that which is less than perfect, to that which is not quite the way we wish it could be, rather than being open to the blessings we enjoy. It's good for us, I think, this morning and many times, just to sit down and do what the psalm writer did, which was to thankfully acknowledge the truth of his situation. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. It's as if the psalm writer is taking an honest and wide-angled view of his life. Doesn't just look at the grass on the other side of the fence, but at the richness of the blessings in his own life. He takes off the dark-colored glasses of envy and discontent that may have blinded him as they blind so many folks. He looks back at his situation in life and took a hard look at it all and had to declare, I have to declare, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. The land he lived in was the promised land, unearned, unbought, promised and delivered by the powerful grace of a promising God. God had kept his promise. He had a name and a place in this promised land. He had a place among the covenant people of God. He hadn't been born into a godless family or a family that served Baal. He had access to these covenant promises. He knew about grace and how he was a product of that grace and a recipient of that grace. The path of life, the path to eternal pleasures, to God's right hand had been made known to him. He knew the God of his salvation. He could rejoice in the fact that his death would not be the end. In fact, this psalmist looked at death and he related to the one whose death would not be the end, and that was, of course, Jesus Christ. But he himself, too, he would not be abandoned to the grave. He was confident of living and enjoying eternal pleasures at God's right hand. The path to eternal life, the path to those eternal pleasures at God's right hand would later be taken by the mediator, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. But David knew that path to God, to those eternal pleasures. And it's because he knew that path to those eternal pleasures at God's right hand that he could say, you know what? The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. He looked around him at the land in which he lived, the promised land that he had received by grace, and truly it was a land of milk and honey. The land promised by the grace of God was a land of productive grapes and vineyards and barley fields. The flocks of sheep and the herds of goats bore their young. He had enough food and clothing. Surely he was a king, of course. He lived in a palace of cedar, but the poet king speaks for all of God's people who inherited that same land of promise, who knew the same path to life, who also ate and drank of the milk and the honey of that promised land. The psalm writer knew human nature. He undoubtedly had heard his share of complaining and footering and grumbling words of discontent and envy. But he knew he had to step back on behalf of the people of God, put words into their mouth as he took a broad view of his situation and spoke words that God's people ought often to speak. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. This is a good time of the year, although we ought not to do it just once a year. A good time of the year for us to step back and take a hard look at our situation and locate all those reasons for which we too have confessed about those boundary lines. We had a harvest again this year. For many people, it was bigger than ever. Maybe the prices dropped a little bit too much, and so our dream of making a lot of money kind of was not quite it ought to be. That dream was not quite fulfilled. We had rain, we had sunshine. Maybe if we had had our way with it, the rain would have come at different times and with different amounts, but that was beyond our ability, and we let God have His way, and it rained, and it rained on time, and it looks like there's plenty of moisture for next year. We can go to the grocery store, the supermarket, and buy the food we need and wanted without standing in line, without having to go hunt and fish for our meal today. In fact, we're so well off, we hunt and fish for pleasure. Just because we can. Not out of necessity. Our choices of food expand all the time. We can choose from maybe 22 different kinds of soups and 47 different kinds of cereals and 18 different kinds of ice cream and breads of all kinds. In fact, the boundary lines have fallen for us in such pleasant places that our problem is too much food. We worry too much about eating more than we should. We worry about cholesterol and calories. We have a health care system that's expensive, and yet it beats the alternative. We don't have witch doctors putting dried turkey gizzards on our sprained ankles or people draining our blood to cure our headaches. We have treatments for diseases that work, pills that control blood pressure, antibiotics that control infections, artificial limbs that replace deteriorating limbs and deteriorating joints. Gallbladders are removed with a couple of small incisions, and they don't even have to open our chest anymore to take care of heart problems. We think of our homes, they're comfortable. They're heated, they're cooled as needed, hot and cold running water, flush toilets, no more three kids to a bed. Each kid has his own room now. We can redecorate, we can change the decor, we can buy new furnishings, we can set all kinds of cute but useless stuff around just to look at. We have our freedoms. We worship, we know that the door will be open. Stormtroopers will not be gathered at the door to break up our gatherings. The Bible can be read and open, the gospel of grace, the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, even the message of judgment can be proclaimed for those who will hear. It's not likely that that freedom will be taken from us, although there are people who wish it would be taken from us. We have free elections. There's no riots in the streets except a few protesters who don't like which way that election went or that one. We have no war going on in our country. A lot of division, but no real war. We are free to travel and win where we want. Don't like winter? Go south. We have the freedom to criticize the results of election and even criticize the administration in office without fear of being arrested. We have free education. We are free to educate and train our children, even in our own homes. We set up schools with well-founded curriculums that give place to what we believe, the fatherhood of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ. The list could go on, but the primary reason, and the psalmist touched on that, why we have to step back and take a broad look at our situation. We are people for whom the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places, and we have a delightful inheritance because of grace, God's covenant grace. We belong to a church that is part of that big body called the Bride of Christ. We're waiting for a wedding between Christ, the returning one, and the body He gave His life for. No money had to be paid for this privileged position. Our national origin had no earning power. We belong to a church which is part of that big body of Christ. Our lives made us unworthy of inclusion in this great body, this big body of believers. But we were born to believing parents, most of us. Baptized with a sign of covenant promises, taught the Christian faith, moved to profess our faith so that we look ahead now to eternal pleasures at God's right hand. We know the path to eternal life. It's been revealed to us. We know it. We believe it. We confessed it. To put it crassly, really doesn't get any better than that. Surely not all of us have perfect health. Some have lives of pain. Many have dealt with tragedies. There's loneliness, loss of loved ones, and many things in this broken world. But if we've been putting our head through the fence because somewhere else the grass looks greener, it's time to stop reaching, to stop our complaining, take a good look at our situation. In many ways, our situation is enviable because of its blessedness. So let's take a broad view, a wide view of our boundaries. Let's weigh by grace our inheritance because of Jesus Christ and be thankful. Not just today, every day. We want to find things to complain about, to whine about, complain about, to envy. We always can. And we realize we've got this old nature that keeps rearing its ugly head, moving us in that direction. But let's be honest. Each of us is a child of God, a Christian. Living where we are has an abundant reason to say, often, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. Amen. Thank you, Father, for all those blessings. We mentioned just a few. The list could go on and on. We saw pictures of your blessings in our lives. In so many ways, our inheritance is delightful. Most of all because of your grace, most of all because you are our Creator God, most of all because you have determined to renew this creation. And so we know that path to eternal blessedness is ours. Help us always to have that vision, to never lose it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.